Okay, members, could we please take our seat and get ready? The Committee on Rules will now come to order. Cindy, please call the roll.
Chair Mayfield?
Here.
Vice Chair Perry?
Here.
Senator Baxley?
Here.
Senator Book?
Here.
Senator Boyd?
Here.
Senator Broder?
Here.
Senator Broxson?
Here.
Senator Burgess?
Here.
Senator Burton?
Here.
Senator DeSigley?
Here.
Senator Garcia?
Here.
Senator Hooper?
Here.
Senator Hutson? Senator Jones?
Here.
Senator Osgood?
Yes.
Senator Rodriguez? Senator Rusan?
Here.
Senator Simon?
Here.
Senator Torres? Senator Yarborough? Quorum present.
Thank you. And Senator Torres is excused for today's meeting. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Senator Perry.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, if you'll please sign on all electronic devices, and anyone wishing to speak before the committee should complete an appearance form and hand it to a member of the sergeant's office. Please be sure to write legibly so we can read your name. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be included in the committee package in the records. Senators, as a reminder, please speak when voting if you want the audience to be able to hear how you're voting. Members, we're going to go ahead and take up tab one, Senator Wright, since you're here. And Senator Wright, you are recognized to explain the memorial.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I may sound like a broken record because we do this every year, and hopefully this year will be the lucky year. Senate Memorial 226 urges Congress to impel the United States National Guard Bureau to examine the resource allocations for the Florida Natural Guard and allow an increase in its force structure. We are allocated for 12,000 guardsmen in our state of 22-plus million residents, the second to the last for ratio for guardsmen to population out of 54 National Guard units. The allocation of 12,000 guardsmen is based on our 1958 population. It's not a typo, 1958. We must increase this number of guardsmen for the protection of Florida, which has the fifth most declared state of emergencies over the last 70 years. We are currently unprepared for a large-scale disaster where we'd be unable to secure and receive additional support that we have enjoyed from our neighboring states. The Florida National Guard is made up of many brave men and women who are heavily relied on, and we must ensure that they have the guardsmen necessary to appropriately respond when called upon. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Great, thank you. Members, are there any questions on the memorial? Seeing no questions, is there any appearance forms for the memorial? No, seeing any debate on the memorial? Seeing no debate, Senator Wright, you're recognized to close on your memorial.
Thank you, I'll wave closed.
Thank you. As Senator Wade's closed, Cindy, will you please call roll on Senate Memorial 226?
Senator Baxley?
Yes.
Senator Book?
Yes.
Senator Boyd?
Yes.
Senator Broder?
Yes.
Senator Broxson?
Yes.
Senator Burgess?
Yes.
Senator Burton?
Yes.
Senator DeSigley?
Yes.
Senator Garcia?
Yes.
Senator Hooper?
Yes.
Senator Hutson?
Yes.
Senator Jones?
Yes.
Senator Osgood?
Yes.
Senator Rodriguez?
Yes.
Senator Rusan?
Yes.
Senator Simon? Senator Torres, Senator Yarborough,
yes.
Vice Chair Perry,
yes.
Chair Mayfield.
Yes, and by your vote, Senate Memorial 226 is reported favorably. Okay, members, we're going to go to tab two, and we're going to take up Senate Bill 7014 on ethics by the Ethics and Elections, presented by Senator Burgess. Senator Burgess, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Senators, this bill creates timeframes for completion of investigations of alleged violations conducted by the Commission on Ethics, which may be initiated by a complaint submitted by a member of the public or by a referral from another specified governmental entity. Among the timeframe provisions are deadlines for completion of initial technical and legal sufficiency reviews, overall deadlines for 1 year for completion of a preliminary investigation, which runs from the beginning of the investigation to the probable cause determination, as well as a requirement that an investigatory report be completed within 120 days of the beginning of the investigation, with an option given to the commission to grant a 60-day extension during a probable cause hearing if they, in fact, needed more time. The goal of this bill is to be consistent with what the goals of the commission are, which is fair, timely, and efficient investigatory and recommendation procedures. And so with that, we've been working in conjunction with the Commission on Ethics and do have an amendment that is in line with a number of their recommendations based on the last committee hearing, Madam Chair.
Great. Thank you, Senator Burgess. And because there is an amendment, although it's not a strike all, I think it's going to address some of the questions that members may have. We're just going to go right ahead and go into their amendment. So you can take up barcode 451260 by Senator Burgess.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. As stated, this is an amendment that addresses a lot of the recommendations from the commission. The amendment clarifies provisions of the bill and addresses issues raised by staff on the commission, makes uniform for complaints and referrals the requirement for beginning an investigation and the deadlines for completion of initial technical and legal sufficiency reviews. It also extends the deadline for completing an initial investigatory report to 150 days from the 120 days that I had just mentioned. It provides the commission more flexibility in granting an extension for further investigation. We want to make sure that we're not inadvertently tying the hands of the commission if they do feel like there's a lot more due diligence to conduct. We're clarifying the right of an alleged violator to request a formal or informal public hearing. Formal hearings are held with DOA, and informal would be through the commission, as is currently the case. It extends the deadline for completing final action in a case relinquished from the Division of Administrative Hearings back to the commission. It removes the provision making timeframes retroactive to existing cases, so this would go proactively in all matters. As of October 1, and it clarifies some terminology that the commission asked it just for consistency's sake and uniform approach and how we use some certain terms. So that is the amendment.
Great. Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Okay, seeing no questions on the amendment, we have some appearance forms for information only. Is Caroline Klanke with the – who is she with? You're with the Florida Ethics, right? Okay. And you're here for information. You're going to speak.
That's correct. My name is Caroline Klanke. I'm the former general counsel of the Florida Commission on Ethics, and I'm the current executive director of the Florida Ethics Institute. I am here to speak on behalf of citizens that care about ethics in government and the ethics accountability process that is effectuated through ethics investigations. We are here in support of the committee amendment, which is deeply appreciated and affords the Commission on Ethics with greater flexibility with respect to the timelines that have been identified in committee amendment 451260. We are not adverse to timelines for ethics investigations being established by law. However, we are concerned that ethics investigation timelines that are identified by this committee and others should not have a corrosive effect on due process afforded to the parties in ethics complaint proceedings. We believe that the committee amendment number 451260 strikes the necessary balance between the timelines that would effectuate both due process and an expeditious resolution of the scrutiny that's afforded by the Commission on Ethics. And we appreciate the amendment, which clearly reflects a conversation that's transpiring between the legislature and the staff of the Commission on Ethics, who in the past 2 years have diligently and expeditiously resolved nearly 90% of their complaint backlog as identified in their annual reports, something which this bill is clearly designed to codify and to ensure continues in the future. That is all.
Great. Thank you. We also have Carrie Steelman with the Florida Commission on Ethics.
Thank you, Chair Mayfield, Vice Chair Perry. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all today. We very much want to express our appreciation to Chair Burgess and the Senate Committee for all of the conversations that we have had about this bill. The Senate staff has been amazing to work with. The nine-member commission has not met as a body to look at this bill. They are aware of the bill. So today I'm just speaking for information. Sections 1 and 3 have items in it that were a part of the commission's recommendations that they made to the legislature for 2024. So we are grateful to see those in there relating to penalties and relating to costs and attorney's fees. Section 4 is where the sweeping changes take place in terms of codifying those investigative timeframes and various actions in the complaint process. The Commission understands the policy goals of this legislation, and the Commission shares the Senate's goals of making sure that the Commission's investigations are timely, objective, efficient, and complete. We want to have a fair process. I think the Commission recognizes, as the Senate has, that in the past some investigations have taken too long. When I was hired in the fall of 2021, the Commission at the time gave me a mandate and said, fix it. Fix the backlog. Make it more efficient. We worked very hard. We restructured our investigative unit. We took a fresh look at our processes and worked over the course of the past couple of years to eliminate that backlog and make our investigations much more efficient. We think that the time frame in the amendment is going to be challenging but manageable for the different timeframes and things that are required, and we appreciate those additional days. So we believe that we can successfully implement the requirements of this law in addition to all of the other work that the Commission staff does. The Commission as a body oversees financial disclosure. You're familiar with e-filing, 40,000 people accessing that system this year. The advice that they provide to officials seeking to comply with the ethics laws, we want to make sure that we don't sacrifice that end of our processes. So we think that if we are able to put in place a case management system and have the ability to hire some additional staff, we should be able to accomplish the policy goals, and we look forward to continuing to work on it.
Great, thank you.
Thanks.
Next, we have Ashley Lucas, is the chair of the Florida Commission on Ethics.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Mayfield and Vice Chair Perry. My name is Ashley Lucas. I currently have the opportunity to serve as the chair of the Florida Commission on Ethics. And I want to echo the gratitude that Ms. Stillman expressed for the work that's gone into this amendment and into this committee's consideration of the bill and its amendment. Ms. Stillman is certainly best suited to answer any questions and provide any feedback on the implementation concerns and opportunities that are presented by this bill. I wanted to take the opportunity to talk about one more substantive provision of the bill that is more closely related to some of the work that the Commission members themselves are engaged in. And that is the provision of the bill, and it remains in the amendment that requires 6 votes on the Commission to reject a recommendation by the attorney advocate. The attorney advocate is an employee of the Attorney General's office who contracts with the Ethics Commission and essentially acts as a prosecutor and makes recommendations on things like probable cause determinations. Lines 256 to 258 of the bill and 107 through 109 of the amendment require that the Commission have 6 votes to overturn or deviate from one of those recommendations. And there are few issues with that I would like this committee to consider. One is that the members of the Commission on Ethics are appointed. We have a constitutional charge. We have a statutory charge. And that charge is to uphold and strengthen the public's trust in their government, to conduct investigations and announce the findings of those investigations in public reports. There are, of course, checks on the authority of the commissioners. The commissioners are appointed by the heads of 2 branches of government. We go through an appointment and confirmation process, and we have term limits. There's a law that establishes a clear process for our removal, and due to a law that was passed last year, we are all now required to file a Form 6 financial disclosure. The assistant attorneys general who perform the role of the attorney advocate that make these recommendations are not subject to any of those checks and balances. They're not subject to those same checks. And right now, we have the service of 2 very, very qualified, wonderful, smart attorneys who are in these roles, but we may not always have the experience or the service of individuals who are that experienced. And regardless of the experience level, these assistant attorneys general will be given more power than a majority of the commission members when it comes to making some of the most fundamental and critical decisions that the commission is charged with making, which is namely whether or not to find probable cause for a hearing to go forward. So that's a delegation of some of the fundamental functions of the commission delegated to an individual, and a majority vote of the commission will not be enough to overcome that individual's prerogative, despite the commissioners being the ones with the constitutional charge. Logistically, the commission has 9 seats. There are 7 members currently, 5 is our quorum. Under this bill, we have to have at least 6 present to consider probable cause matters. Just to provide some context, we have a meeting later this month. We only expect 5 members to be there. So under this bill, we wouldn't even be able to rule on probable cause matters at the next meeting. Obviously, there's a conflict with the timelines that are in this rule when you consider that sort of restriction on our work. The bill also demands perfection from these assistant attorneys general and assumes that the commissioners will be the ones who will make mistakes in analyzing these complaints and coming to the decision. And that's the bill only allows assistant attorneys general 15 days to review the case file and make a recommendation. Only 15 days, but demands perfection. And that is a very tight timeline to accomplish a comprehensive review of the investigatory file and make a recommendation. And that 15-day review and recommendation will be more consequential than to the collective experience of 5 voting members of the commission. The next thing I wanted to highlight is, and I think this was previously mentioned by an earlier speaker, is there's a little bit of a due process concern here that the commission is the body that has the benefit of hearing from a respondent, hearing the arguments that a respondent has to make before the probable cause determination is made. The assistant attorney general will not have the opportunity to hear the arguments from the respondent before making a very weighty recommendation that only 6 members of the commission would be able to deviate from. Respondents might raise a due process challenge given that they start behind the 8-ball before their defense arguments are ever articulated for the first time. And then finally, as I mentioned, the attorney advocates are contracted with the Commission on Ethics. The Commission on Ethics is the client of these attorneys general, and so it's very easy to foresee a situation in which the advocates are making a recommendation, the commission doesn't agree, the commission is powerless to do anything about it, and that creates a conflict between the lawyer-client relationship that I think raises some concern under the Florida Bar Rules of Professional Responsibility. And I want to make clear that this isn't about the competency and the skill of any of the current advocates that work with the commission. They're outstanding. This is just about the fundamental exercise of the commission's responsibilities under the Constitution and under the ethics laws. And then the last thing I would note is that the goals of this bill are laudable. They're achievable. Under the leadership of Ms. Stillman, they've been achieved by and large already. But the commission will certainly need additional resources in order to implement some of these changes. Ms. Stillman is, again, in the best position to answer questions about exactly what those needs might be, but additional staff will be necessary to meet these timelines. Additional IT infrastructure will be necessary to meet these timelines. And so I say all of that for your consideration. I appreciate the time. I appreciate putting up with you being a little long-winded. If anyone has any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I just appreciate your consideration.
Thank you, Mrs. Lucas. Members, do you have any questions? Very long detail. Did you have a chance to speak with Senator Burgess about some of the concerns that you've indicated?
Ms. Stillman has been gracious enough to
convey some of those same concerns you indicated. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, members, is there any debate on the amendment? Okay, seeing no debate. All in favor of the amendment say yay. 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 All opposed say nay. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Or is there any questions now on the bill as amended? All All right, seeing no questions, there is a couple of appearance cards. Again, Mrs. Stillman with the Florida Commission on Ethics.
Thank you, Chair. The Commission appreciates much of what was included in this amendment. It really does make it more workable from an implementation perspective, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Great, thank you. And we also have Mrs. Lucas, the chair. Would you like? Okay, great, thank you. Members, is there any debate on the bill as amended? Seeing no debate, Senator Burgess, you're recognized to close on your bill as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to thank Director Stillman as well as Chair Commissioner Lucas for their input. We have been working hand in hand with the Commission on Ethics of this. I think it's clear there might be a couple things that are still potentially needing to be ironed out as we move forward, and obviously our door is always open. But I want to thank committee staff and the Ethics and Elections Suite for their hard work and dedication on this issue, and ask all of you for your favorable support. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Cindy, will you please call the roll on committee substitute for Senate Bill 7014?
Senator Baxley?
Yes.
Senator Book?
Yes.
Senator Boyd?
Yes.
Senator Broder?
Yes.
Senator Broxton?
Yes.
Senator Burgess?
Yes.
Senator Burton?
Yes.
Senator DeSigley?
Yes.
Senator Garcia?
Yes.
Senator Hooper?
Yes.
Senator Hudson?
Yes.
Senator Jones?
Yes.
Senator Osgood?
Yes.
Senator Rodriguez?
Yes.
Senator Rusan? Senator Simon,
yes.
Senator Torres, Senator Yarborough,
yes.
Vice Chair Perry,
yes.
Chair Mayfield.
Yes, and by your vote, committee substitute for Senate Bill 7014 is reported favorably. Okay, members, is there any senator wishing to record a vote on a bill before the committee today? If so, please state the bill number. Anyone missed? Okay. Is there any other further business before the committee? Senator Hudson moves we adjourn. Is there any objection? No objection. The motion is adopted, and we are adjourned.
All right.